So, something funny, I went and got my eyebrows waxed yesterday. Because this is like the one time when I have to look presentable. And so I went, I was like in a mad dash, went and got my eyebrows waxed, gave her my $8, got in the car, did stuff for like 5 hours, and then I like get in my car for something, I look in the rearview mirror, and I'm like, my eyebrows are crooked. So if it looks like I'm going like that to you, I'm not. It's just my eyebrows are crooked. It's crooked. Can you tell? Anyways. So Brody and Tucker are out of town. They're at doing some like preaching and stuff. Or Tucker's not preaching, Brody is. But I'm doing the weekend with Kilby has her prom tomorrow. Yeah, she has her prom. Moses is just crazy, so that puts a kink in everything. Hey. So one quick Moses story. I've had to quit. Like, he has a bed in our room, and I had to quit, you know, changing in front of him and stuff, and kick him out when I have to change. And the other day, I was in a hurry, and I had my jeans on, but I switched my shirt and didn't have one on for a minute. And he said, "Ooh, Mama, you look good." And I said, ow. He's like, "Go take." But so that's him in a nutshell. Yeah. Layla has 2 soccer games tomorrow. Yeah. I have a jail ministry that I do at 12, so tomorrow's going to be a crazy day. But I'm really excited to be here. I'm super excited for you guys. It's crazy to me. I know Rob kind of was saying how, you know, it's a lot for you guys to be here. And I know we kind of joke about, you know, it's a good weekend not to have to do laundry or dishes or see your kids. But I know it is a big deal, like, to have soccer uniforms clean, have food in the fridge, you know, whether it be like frozen fish sticks, something for your kids or whatever. And so I'm just like blown away. I hope you guys realize this. I don't know how many women are here, but in scripture it says how, like, people that really follow the Lord are few, you know, in the broad scheme of thing. And like, I hope you guys can grasp the reality that the Lord's called you to him, that you can really be thankful and know that you're blessed, that you like want to know the goodness of the Lord, that you know that the Lord is good and his way is good. And so you want to know more about it. That blows my mind. And so you guys be thankful for that. Thankfulness always produces joy. So be thankful that, you know, I talk to women a lot and you guys too who don't have the hope of the Lord, and it's such a despairing thing when you see that. And so really be thankful that the Lord is in your hearts and in your minds. If that's all you come away with this weekend, be thankful that you have that you have the Lord, you know, ministering to your heart and making you want to do what's right and follow him. So I'm actually going to pray, because I get nervous doing this stuff. So I'm going to pray really quick and then we'll get into it. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that the scripture would just resound in our hearts, Lord. I pray that it would draw us to you. I pray that it would make us want to sit in your presence, Lord. Pray that it would make us want to learn how to love you more, Lord, and learn how to just serve you, Lord, and be called to you and want to have a life that's hidden in you and in your word. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for these women. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I have a lot of scripture, and I have like 5 points, so you guys get your pen and paper out. The first thing I want to read is Isaiah 44. This scripture, Isaiah is like my favorite book of the Bible, so I just always love anything in Isaiah. In Isaiah 44, it says this. It says, "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." And this is just like, I feel like a picture of probably everybody in this room, because like Rob was saying, there's some of you who are just like, your brain is like a whirlwind, you know, with your thoughts and everything. There's others of you feel like you're just like fish out of water, just kind of floundering. There's some of you that are doing like really well and you feel like it's all together and you think that you had something to do with it, you know? So there's all these different, that would be, it's true. I do that. So the valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, and the rough places a plain, and the uneven ground shall become level. So that's what like my prayers for this weekend, that whatever it is, whatever's coming into this room, that the Lord will shake us up like with his love, that we'll feel it, and then he'll settle us down, settle our minds in him, make us want to just be grounded in him, in his love. So that's Isaiah 44. So the first point I'm going to actually make, we're kind of bringing in a bunch of different stories from scripture. And then I've got some points with it. But my first point that I'm going to go ahead and make is that try to be women who see our victory as our fight. Women who see our victory as our fight. This can be a little bit confusing at first. I'll kind of try to explain. I remember when we first started camp, and it was Brody and I and all of our staff, which was maybe like two at the time, and we went to a college, like a, I don't know, like a Bible study at a college. And I remember Brody saying, he's talking about just struggling with temptation or whatever, and I remember him saying, you know, a lot of times your fight, so if you're fighting hard, a lot of times we think at some point we're gonna win this, and there's gonna be this break, and we're gonna have this, you know, release of pressure, and everything's gonna like level out. And he said that's not so. A lot of times there's stuff that's stuck in your life that you battle with all the way through. And he said, you know what? Your victory is not in the end. It's in that you're fighting. He said, and when he said that, so he basically said your victory is that you're fighting, that you're not putting your hands down and just letting it go. And I remember when he said that, it was just like so relieving to me, because I remember everybody has struggles and things you deal with. And I remember just like at that point in my life, just being like, you know, when's the victory? When is this victory coming? You know? And when he said that, it ministered to me so tightly, because it was just like, wow, of the fact that I'm like sticking in this with the Lord and I'm battling this, that's victory too. And you guys have to realize that victory is just also in the realization that you're fighting your sin. Okay, don't get discouraged, because I know a lot of times we look for the end, and sometimes that's not so. It's like you're in my life, when I have struggles, I'm being refined by those things, you know, they're like keeping me like clinging to the Lord. And so be thankful for those things. And realize that your victory is the fact that you're fighting. So the first scripture that I'm going to look into is Luke 7, 36. And this is the story of the sinful woman. You guys are probably familiar with this. Luke 7:36. And we'll just kind of go through it a little bit at a time. Verse 36 says, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. Okay, everybody, pretty much, if you know the story, that's kind of saying that she was probably a prostitute, that terminology. And says, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. I want to focus on this just for a minute, because I try to like put myself, you know, like in the scenes in scripture, so I can really feel like the weight of it and what the Lord's trying to tell me. And I was thinking about that flask of oil, and just with her, her line of work that was probably bought, you know, with money from her work. And I thought, I wonder if Satan tried to shame her about that, you know, because women, or Satan just totally like tries to flush women with shame, right? Like you hear girls all the time talking about shame for this or that. And I thought, it made me so mad to think that he would try to shame her of that gift. And because, like, at that point, her heart was already, like, going towards the Lord, like, and to his love and his redemption. And so it's crazy. I don't know if you've ever raised or had chickens in your home, raised chickens, but I had this awful thought of, so there's like little baby chickens everywhere. And if one gets a little teeny like peck or injury or something, an open wound, do you guys know what the other chicken, baby chickens do? Yeah, they like peck that open wound, right? That's like the most traumatic thing you can ever see. It's awful. And I, like, that picture came into my mind as far as, like, when women who have seen, like, the Lord heal, like, those wounds are closed up. They're closed up. And you see Satan try to go back in their mind, enter their mind again, and try to shame them with those things that are already healed, that are, the wounds are gone. And he tries to peck at those things and shame those things. And there's a girl who's been living with us for a little bit, and she deals with shame a lot. And I told her, okay, you got to meet this at the door. You got to meet this at the door. And what I mean by that is, as soon as Satan attacks you with a thought, it could be shame, it could be whatever your temptation is, whenever he comes in with that, okay, you're going to hopefully know that it's temptation because you have light in your head. So when that darkness comes in, you're going to realize it, right? And you're going to meet it with scripture. Easiest thing to do. So, like, for her, when that shame comes into her past, you throw Romans 8:1 right in Satan's face. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have to scream it 7,000 times until it's gone, do it. Battle it. Let that be your battle. Let that be your victory. And I actually have this really funny story that I actually tell. How many of you, like, summer chaperone type deal? So not that many. Okay, great. So I have this story that always is like a good visual for me as far as like just seeing sin and meeting it. And it's one of my favorite camp stories. And it's from a long time ago. I used to have to guide the river a lot. And there was one Thursday I ended up with this boat full of like string bean middle school girls who like soaking wet. The combination weight was like 250. Seemed like it. And none of them wanted to get thrown out of the boat. Those of you who've been down in the river, it's frigid. It's awful. It like hurts your bones. It hurts your bones. It's so cold. And so I just happened to get designated to these girls. And so they're like, you know, making me promise that I will not let them get thrown out of the boat. And it was a pretty large, there's like 120 probably campers with a big group. And so I was like, yeah, whatever, you know. And so we get in the boat and we're doing good for a while. And then there's this little curve area where everybody kind of puts their boats out and lets, and they just play or whatever in the water. But it's also the best spot to pirate, which means people jump on your boat and yank you out. And so I told them, I'm like, okay, so basically we're going to come around this corner and we're going to stay river right, way as close to the bank as we can, because they're going to come out after us. And so, you know, they're like freaking out. And so we come around. Well, okay, so I went ahead and told them. So there's one girl in the very front, and she was, I don't know if she was scared of water, but she was panicking pretty well. And so I told her, I don't remember her name, but I told her, okay, if somebody comes and tries to get you off our aft, you nail them in the head with your paddle. And we are not supposed to, like, even let go of your paddle. That's one of the main things. Like, hold on to your T-grip. And so I should tell this really inappropriate story right now. Okay, so rabbit trail. There was this girl, and she had lived a crazy, crazy life, and she didn't know anything about anything. And we're on a boat, and she, okay, so it's called your T-grip, right? So, like, here's a paddle, T-grip. Don't let go of your T-grip. And so I think Harry McSween was the guide, and I happened to be in the boat or I don't know if I was in the boat. I might just remember the story. But anyways, so where they're going along, I can't remember. It's so long ago, and my memory's so bad. But they're going along, and all of a sudden, this girl is sitting down, and she lets her paddle just kind of flail around, whatever. And he says, I can't remember her name. Tara. Oh yeah. Who said that? Oh, you remember that? She said, that's Harry's wife. he said, Tara. He said, Tara, cover your T-grip. And she said, she heard me, she turned around, she went, oh, sorry, and pulled her pants up. That was a funny one. That's one of the best camp stories there is, honestly. Thanks, I'm glad you're here. I would have totally messed that up. Okay. So I told her she could hit somebody with her paddle. And so we come around that curve, and there was this boy named Casey Calvo, who it was kind of the bully of the week of camp. He's pretty muscular, senior guy, and I can see him just, coming. And I was like, oh, no. And so he's coming over, and I see this little girl, probably 85 pounds, get her paddle and walk to the front of the boat, and she waited for him. And he came, and she took that paddle, and she just, boom! She laid him, she split his head open. He had blood literally went pouring down. And I was in the back of my boat going, woo! And she did not get thrown in the water. My boat, we were the heroes for the week. But I tell that story just because I don't know if it was when it happened or sometime right after that. I was reading about maybe capturing your thoughts or just battling temptation. And I remember the Lord saying, just like that girl did on your raft. She knew it was coming, and she got girded up, for us to be with scripture, whatever. And in comes Satan, and guess what? Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Right? So for me, that's why memorization of scripture is so important, because you've got to have stuff in your head to battle and say out loud into the air against Satan. Whoa, that was a lot. Sorry. Oh, no. Okay. And one thing about when Satan, there's condemnation and there's conviction. And I was talking to one of my friends this week who's just having crazy stuff going on in her life. And she's like, I did read that conviction is from the Lord. It's a specific thing. You ask the Lord to convict you of something. It's a specific thing that he lays on your heart to try to overcome, deal with. Whereas condemnation actually got a definition is overwhelming cloud of wrong, usually after weighing evidence. Okay, so when Romans 8:1 says there is therefore no now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, it's saying, nah, there doesn't need to be that cloud of That's where the scripture comes in. That's where you battle that with that scripture. Okay. So she brought the alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Okay, and this is this is such a beautiful thing. I try to just think about this for a long time. I hope you guys, when you read scripture, that you sit still and allow the Lord to really minister to you through the scripture. Because it's so easy, we're all just busy to just read it, and not just stew in it and let the Lord really translate it for your circumstance and mine. And just reading that, she stood behind Christ and she anointed his feet and she wept tears. And I really feel there's no telling what was going on, but I feel at that point, her whole life had pretty much been mush, And she tried to do everything on her own, the best she could, survival mode. She tried, and everything had failed, and everything was empty. And all of a sudden, in front of her is this Redeemer, this person who's going to come and save her and help her battle. And I was like, I felt like all of a sudden she was like, I've been doing this my whole life by myself. And all of a sudden I have this person that I'm going to have girded up with me. I'm going to have his strength. I'm going to have his wisdom. I'm going to have his understanding. I'm going to have his patience. I'm going to battle this thing. And that was, I think, her victory was just knowing that. And it was a beautiful thing just to know that, like, at that point, Christ was in her life, in her heart. And I hope that you guys don't ever get, like, numb to the fact of what Christ has done in your heart. Ever. We do this jail ministry that we get to go into the jail the last Saturday of every month. So tomorrow we'll go. And it's really awesome and it's fun and it's just crazy, but it's really despairing at the same time because you have these women in there who are like wanting to do better. Their whole lives, a lot of them have just been in and out of jail with different men, lost their children, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, they're verbalizing how they want to be out of this, but they don't have a Lord. And it's like, it's really overwhelming. So, I'm hopeful for them, but also it's really hard. And so you guys, hopefully you realize like what a miracle is that the Lord's inside your head and your heart. And like, if that's all you had to think about all the time, that would be enough. Okay. So then it says, now when the Pharisee, this is verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who was touching him, for she is a sinner. And this is so amazing to me because Christ did know, right? And one thing that I was trying to like process through a couple weeks ago is like how beautiful it is that Christ knows my deal. He knows my thoughts. He knows you guys' thoughts. He knows your motives behind things, but he still delights in you. And scripture says that he went to the cross because of his delight, which is us. And so, it's so cool because like, I do know what she's done. So what? Right? And then the next verse says, and Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And this is, it's funny. In my mind, I don't think Christ was like, come here, buddy. I need to talk you through this. I think he was like, hey, Simon, come here. Let me tell you about this woman, you know? And it was like in that moment, Christ was like ready to defend this lady. He wanted to be her defender and like explain what had happened in her heart and the love that was produced from that. We could keep reading. I'll go ahead and keep reading. So it says, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon. So he's like, he turns to her. So like he's, you know, look, this is, I love this lady. I've just redeemed her. This is my redemption here. And he says, do you see this woman? I entered your home. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And this is like so beautiful, just thinking about Christ just completing that work in her. And up until her point, what her life looked like, and then all of a sudden she has the light and truth of Christ in her heart. And I think in that moment she realized, all right, this is all I need. Those women that are in that jail that we go see, they'll say, if I could get out of here and my circumstance, I could get somewhere where my circumstance was different, or if I could, you know, get somewhere where I would actually get a job and a car. I feel like things would happen. And really, like, all that's screaming out in my head is, you just need the Lord. You just need that one thing. And for us, like, we have that. For those of you the believers, we have the love of the Lord and one thing. My next point. This would be woman with one thing mornings. That would be number two, I guess. And I'm going to go to Luke 10, 38 through 42. And this is a story of Martha and Mary. And you guys, I hope, you know, when you see scripture and it has women in there, I hope you, like, get super excited and cling to whatever, however they responded, whatever they did, cling to it if it's good or right. And this says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha, who was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? It's kind of like she's tattletelling on her. Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. And this is like a huge contrast between these two women. Mary beautifully sat at the Lord's feet. And that's one thing that Lord's been pounding in my head is for me and for you guys this weekend, like you are subtracted away from your life. I want you hopefully to just cherish and pursue sitting at the Lord's feet and just sitting there and letting him, not even reading scripture, not even like trying to memorize, but allowing his presence to just like, you know, like heal you, energize you, like renew your mind. It's just amazing thing sitting with the Lord. And so you have Mary who is sitting at the Lord's feet. And then, but without this, we are Martha. Okay. Who, what does it say? She was anxious and troubled about many things. Right. And that's really easy to do. Correct. And every morning, like what I should do, I don't do it every morning, but what I should do is push myself to where I'm sitting at the Lord's feet, where I'm letting him renew my mind, like in big ways and little ways. Big ways, I wrote down some big ways because, like, I don't know about you guys, but if I haven't spent time with the Lord, my days are completely, my day with the Lord, my day without the Lord is like Jekyll and Hyde, right? And so I was thinking of like big monumental ways that the Lord can renew you and like direct you if you're sitting in with the Lord and allowing him to do it. I put, you could maybe see that guy or man less desirable. If you guys are struggling with attraction to some guy, you'll need to be, okay? That could be one way that the Lord could renew your mind and refine it. We see our husbands with sweeter, softer eyes. Some of you, you're like, you've been married for 20 years and you're like, ah. Okay, like, first of all, fight for your marriage because that's how the world sees Christ and his church, okay? That's a huge deal. If there's young people that get to see your marriage and get to see a healthy marriage lived out, you keep fighting for that because that's like a miracle for like high school kids to get to see a marriage that's healthy where they love each other, and it just puts a healthy, healthy view of Christ and his bride into their hearts. It could change our small, constricting home, and it could become a cozy and more conversational home. So if you're like always, you know, having a hard time with how small our house is and it's clutter and whatever, okay, even something like that, like the Lord can make that a sweet place where it's cozy, conversations, you know, is good and intentional. You could start to lose entitlement. The Lord could renew you where you don't feel like you're entitled to stuff. Your significance could start to seem petty and almost silly. That's huge. Even like, so Laylee and I watch The Voice. That's like our deal. And everybody on there, they just want to be seen and significant, right? It's just a very, very like easy desire. And even something like that, the Lord can start to just dwindle that away by being in his presence and learning of him. Our heart can suddenly be drawn to the hurt of another. Because you guys, there's like, the Lord's placing people all around you to minister to. And if you're caught up in yourself and everything, you'll never even see them. Bitterness doesn't seem as suffocating as it did the day before. Forgiveness actually seems to be an option. Or that drink or pill seems further away than it did yesterday. So these are like things where they're miracles that the Lord wants to just pass along to us. But we've got to like be in his word and be strong and bound up to be able to allow him to do those things in our lives. And then also he can refine us by sitting at his feet in little teeny things. The other day, so Laylee's like my mason jar thief. She steals all my mason jars and paints them or puts bugs in them or I don't know what she does with them, but she gets a hold of all of them. And the other day I hadn't been in scripture and been with the Lord like I need to. I was just impatient, you know, those of you have kids, your kids can just send you into utter turmoil if you haven't been with the Lord. So I remember sitting there and she had a mason jar and I was like, it's like three left and she was painting it. I didn't really care. Poked holes in the top of it. You know, I was like, well, there it goes. And I remember, I didn't say anything to her, but I remember like, you know, just kind of being like about the whole thing. And then, so this is like really small, but this is also how it can work too. The next day, we're out there and I saw that water. I saw that mason jar. And the Lord had just like quieted my spirit, you know, like anything that was going to come, I feel like he was going to just diffuse and it was going to have like, I have supernatural powers or something because I have his powers, right? And I remember seeing that mason jar and I was like, it's like a really beautiful thing. That's just like Kissed by Laylee. That's how she paints. That's, she had put holes in the top so we can use it for a watering can because we planted flowers the day before. And it was like, even in that, the Lord was like, see, I want to make everything really beautiful for you, everything enjoyable, instead of like you just getting agitated by the smallest things because you're not including yourself in me. And so even in that, I was like, okay, I understand, you know, he wants to make everything beautiful. And what's crazy is how Satan just busies us, of course. And he kind of just aborts our intention to be with the Lord. And it's really easy for me. I can go 3 days and not pay the Lord any attention. Just be honest. Just be caught up in going and going. Can turn into a week where I'm maybe reading something, maybe not. And then I'm like, why am I feeling like a crazy person? You know, and it's like, I don't even see little cracks in my life where I'm not giving it attention, where my joy, my purity of mind, like everything that's good is just slowly going out of that crack. And Jeremiah, it says that we hew for ourselves broken cisterns. And it's like, I get so full of myself, but I can't see those cracks where Satan's stealing my joy and stealing whatever is good in me. And it's like I'm so into myself and so into what's going on, I can't even look down and see, you know, that there's a crack here or there, because if I look down, I would be just drowning in my own emptiness. There's nothing there. And that's how Satan works. He just tries to keep us so busy. And even with like laundry or something, that's ridiculous. Who thought laundry could be like an idol, right? But it can, if you're like putting that before your time with the Lord. Sad to say that could be your idol. Boo for you. But no, I'm just kidding. You should see my laundry room. There's like 18 piles of. If you guys want to come over to my house and do laundry tomorrow, we can have a laundry party. No, okay. But back to what I was saying, just how in scripture it says we have forsaken. There's two things that we do. We forsake and forget the Lord. And then we're like broken cisterns with cracks where all the goodness of the Lord, anything that's good in us is leaking out, and we don't even, like, realize it. And that's where it's so important to know, like, the best tactic for you guys, if you guys are coming to this going, I am just a bad mom, I am not a supportive wife, I'm a bad friend. Okay, the best tactic for you guys to flip those things around and be a passionate wife or be a good friend, whatever, is to just be with the Lord and have a relationship with the Lord. Easy peasy. There's not like a plan for that. You spend time with the Lord and a lot of that stuff will be resolved. So with the woman being having one thing mornings, that's what the Lord's like begging, like softly pleading with me to do, is to just be with him. And I hope you guys, like, hear that when he's softly and tenderly calling you. I hope you guys hear that and you respond to him in that way. The next one, number three, is to be women with Peter's abandonment. Now, Peter is not a woman, I know. But I read this the other day, and it's funny. Peter was kind of like a ridiculous redneck in Scripture. It kind of reminds me of Brody. Just kind of doing whatever. And in John 21, I'm going to start in verse 1 and go to 12. And this is after Christ is risen. And it says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Christ. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. Okay, and then it says, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Okay, it's kind of funny. Because then it says, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. So it's like there's this fishing boat, and Christ calls out to them. And when Peter realizes this is the Lord, he literally just bails and jumps in the water to go be with the Lord. And this might be like one of my favorite stories in Scripture, because I love Christ and I love fire and I love fires and I love fish. And this is what it said next. It says, when they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. I'm going to stop there. It's such a beautiful scene, knowing that, like, Christ came back from the dead, and he went to go be with some of his disciples, the ones that he loved. And he went and found them, and when he saw them out there, he went and prepared a fire, and he got some fish on the fire and had this whole, like, set up for them when they came back to shore. And I know I love, like, it would be a beautiful scene to get to go off a boat and sit with the Lord in a fire and have fish going and just, like, hang out with the Lord. And it's such a cool thing, because the Lord, like, delights in that in us. Because a lot of times I think, or in my life, I don't think that he pays attention to my details or, like, what I, you know, just what I have to deal with or whatever. But in the Scripture, it's like Christ was so personable and such just like a friend to them. He's like, hey, come on, let's eat some breakfast and just hang out. And so for those of you that, like, a lot of times feel lonely or you feel like there's not somebody in your life, like, Christ is wanting to be present and feel that. And I know, like, he's not here on earth. Like, I know that. But he has the capacity to fill everything that we feel empty with and fill it to full, fill it to your portion. In Scripture, it says that Christ is our portion. And it's so cool that all these men got to sit with the Lord, who ponders us, who delights in us, and delights in showing us mercy, delights in giving us what is good. And I have another point four is being women who delight in showing mercy. And showing mercy is such a beautiful thing because whenever I receive mercy or grace from the Lord, it just softens everything, softens my heart, it softens my mind to the Lord. And so to be able to do that with the Lord and to be incarnate and show other people his mercy and forgiveness and love is such a beautiful opportunity, you know? And so for those of you who, like, have even a situation now where, like, somebody's wronged you or, I don't know, something's gone wrong and you haven't, like, stepped up and offered that forgiveness and that mercy, like, this can be the time where you really just promise to the Lord, okay. Because what happens is when somebody gets that, receives that love and forgiveness, and they don't think they need to, it's like a beautiful thing. It's a thing that can bring somebody to the Lord. And so always in everything that's going on, make sure somebody's handling you wrong, whatever, you'd be like, okay, at some point, this is going to be the opportunity for me to show them the forgiveness and love of Christ. And it's going to be fun, you know, and I'm going to give them a big hug for a long time and they're going to feel the Lord, you know, through me. And so, like, be even just looking for that opportunity to minister in that way. In 2 Kings 5, so did I say women who delight in showing mercy? Okay. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 3 says this. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor. Because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Verse 2. Now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. Verse 3. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." Okay, I want to stop right there because this is so cool that the Lord cast in this story this little teeny girl to show us what it looks like to delight in showing mercy to someone. It's such a cool thing that, well, first of all, I don't know if her family was killed or if she was just taken from them. Either way, she was taken from her family and put to be a servant for Naaman. And so when I read this story, it just blew my mind because it literally, in this little three verses, it annihilates any excuse we have to, like, have bitterness, right? Or have unforgiveness in our heart. Because the Lord obviously put this story in here not to be in vain. It was like to say, all right, little, this person's done you wrong. Guess what? You delight in showing that person mercy. You delight in it. Like, you know what? When you delight in something, like, I delight in chocolate chip frappes at McDonald's, okay? I go get one, I'm like, ah, so good, right? Something like delighting in something. That's a really cheesy example, sorry. But, like, really just delighting and loving something and being, like, delighting in showing someone mercy. And then verse 15, jump over 15, it says, then he returned. So basically, she says, hey, this guy Naaman took me and made me a servant in his home. He's got leprosy. And she says, he needs to go see Elijah the prophet. And she offers that counsel, you know, to, I think, his wife, I think. And so then he basically goes to Elijah, and it says, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. Okay, so he was healed of his leprosy. And then verse 15, it says, then he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Okay, so basically because of what this little girl did, Naaman
basically proclaim Christ as the only God. And so in my life, in your life, in throughout our day and throughout people that we come in contact with, it's really important to have their salvation or their healing or whatever needs to happen for Christ to minister to them, have that at the forefront of your talks with them and in your interaction with them. Because this little girl, she basically was completely like, it's amazing to me that she would even say, hey, this guy who did this to me, I think this person can heal him. That's insane. I don't think I would have the character to do that. I would be like, let him die. You know, honestly, if it was me and probably you, right? it'd be an easy thing to do. But so the Lord said, here, let me stick this story of this little girl and how she had a life hidden in Christ. Obscure duty was her deal, you know. And she offered up that to allow Naaman to be healed. And then he ultimately said, the Lord is the only one. And so our push, just like her in a really indirect way, is that we try to make everybody understand the Lord and his goodness. And really try to ask the Lord to like put that burden in your heart to just try to want to, when you see somebody, first thing you think of is this person like needs the Lord, and then figuring out allowing the Lord to show you ways and direct you in ways to minister to that person. And having a love that does not seek its own. Okay. So that's an awesome example. Next one, number 5, is to be an attentive woman. Proverbs 4:20-23 says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline your ear to my sayings. I have to ask myself, you ask yourself, what are your ears inclined to? Like the gospel or gossip? What do you like to hear? Let them not escape from your sight. So let his words not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. So when I read that keep them within your heart, for me today when I read that, I was like, okay, so the Lord's basically saying like, stick scripture in your mind and your heart. Memorize scripture. So if I'm not doing that, am I out of the will of the Lord and disobeying the Lord? Yeah. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, because like that's something small that the Lord's like said throughout scripture a lot. Hide my word in your heart. Like hide my word in your heart. And I can't expect to even know the will of the Lord if I'm not doing these little small things. I remember when we were in Africa, Juliet had, so for those of you who don't know, we adopted 2 kids from Africa about 3 years ago, my husband and I, and Juliet is 7 now and Moses is 4. But when we got them, I know at the orphanage, their baths consisted of this, they would stand in this tub of water that had already had a bunch of other little kids been washed with, and that was their bath. It was kind of this dirty soapy water, and that's what she got. And then when we got her into the compound where we were living, the first time she actually got in the bathtub, it was insane. We videoed it. She was going crazy. And I don't know if that was, I don't know how they did in her village, but I remember the first time we took her to a swimming pool, we found the swimming pool in Africa, believe it or not. And I remember she literally was just like frantically wanting to jump in this water. She couldn't swim. She was 4. And I remember, you know, thinking, okay, she's Juju. She spoke Lusoga and we did not. So anything was just hard, you know, trying to explain to her, but trying to, with hand motion and stuff, okay, you've got to learn how to hold your breath and kick your feet and do this. And she's just like looking at us like we're idiots, you know. But there's all these things that like she, of course, had to do before she could actually go swimming, right? And again, like in this, when it says, hey, keep my word in your heart. Okay, there's like, so she had to do all these little, what I'm getting at, she had to learn all these little things and do all these little things before she could actually, go swim. And so with Christ, it's like I have these girls that come up to me sometimes and they're wanting to do missions, and they're wanting to know what the will of the Lord is. We all want to know the will of the Lord, but it's like, let's make sure that you're memorizing scripture, that these you're doing, being obedient in these little small things that the Lord's telling you to do. Because if you're not being obedient at that, you know, who's to say if you're going to hear what he wants you to hear as far as the will of his will in your life. And so make sure, a lot of you have kids. There's always like decisions to be made, with them. You just have to parent, right? Those are big things. And I feel like the Lord is faithful to like direct us in like big decisions and stuff that we have to deal with. If we're just doing these little things like hiding his word in our heart, it's a huge thing. So if that's something that you don't do, like I'm going to try to do better. You know, obviously, like I need to start memorizing scripture more because Christ is saying, do this, I'll be faithful. You want something to battle Satan with? Memorize the scripture, hide it in your heart. And then it says, verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. And it's really cool because we're that second part in healing to all their flesh. Some of you guys in here, you're kind of stuck in this place in your life because somebody's hurt you or whatever, and they haven't asked you to forgive them. And for some of you, that apology may never come. But guess what's beautiful? The Lord always gives us something else. He says, be attentive to my words. And that is healing to all your flesh. So for some of you, if you have that issue where like you're wanting forgiveness or apology from some certain person, like you can completely live in victory and deal with that and move on just with what it says, with scripture, with hiding it in your heart. It says, again, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for it flows the spring of life. So it's so awesome. I talk to girls a lot about, I use this verse a lot in the girl night at camp, talking to the girls about keeping your heart with vigilance. Again, like seeing that Satan is like a lion seeking who he may devour. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to put stuff in our life that keeps us busy. And knowing that, okay, I know these things, but I have scripture, I have the strength of the Lord, and being vigilant and guarding your heart, because it says this is the spring of life, your heart. Okay, so I think I'm going to conclude. I think that's all the stories I'm going to use here. What's so cool about these stories, and Bethany's going to share some, Sarah's going to share some. What's so beautiful about these stories is like Christ specifically put them in here as like the script for us to follow and response for us to follow. And what's so cool is about everybody in here is like, I don't know, 200 and something people in here. Like the Lord has scripted your life. Like you guys all have the story. And some of you have had really easy stories. And some of you have had not so easy stories. And the cool thing is in scripture, it says that we have these things going on, these circumstances, and God comforts us. And then we are able to comfort those. And so make sure whatever's going on in your life, that you realize, all right, this thing that's going on, the Lord's going to allow me to use that to comfort somebody else, just like he comforted me, and to be incarnate with somebody else the way he was incarnate with me, and he loved and comforted me. And it's one thing that I want you guys to really pray and ask the Lord, going through some of these things, delighting in mercy, having like the Lord as your one thing, having the fact that you're fighting sin, you're fighting Satan, that's that being your victory. All these things, basically in Matthew 13, 45 and 46, I'm going to read that. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. I read this yesterday and I was like, holy cow. Okay, I need to make sure in my life, like before I do anything, that I'm not going to be able to delight in showing mercy. I'm not going to be able to have these battles if I don't, if there's something in my life that I'm clinging to that I wouldn't sell just for Christ. It says, on finding one great pearl of value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, show me, like, is there something that I'm clinging on to, a thing, a person, whatever, that I'm clinging on to too tight that I wouldn't get rid of just to only have you? And for each of us, like, that's something that we can ask the Lord this weekend just to show us, like, really reveal things that that we wouldn't want to get rid of. Because when you give something to the Lord, it's a big deal, I know, but trusting the Lord with it is so beautiful if you can do it. Like something that you've been clinging on to too tight, giving it to the Lord and then trusting him and leaving it at his feet, you know, and just allowing him to make that thing that you thought was a big deal, it's not really a big deal. And just allow your mind to be renewed in that way. And it's a beautiful thing. It's really good to be able to live in that, to live in the light of Christ and have that resolve of just having the Lord is your one thing. And so I pray that this weekend, like, you guys would, I know I threw a lot at you, a lot of scripture, but you would really get time. I know tomorrow there's, like, afternoon time where you guys could just sit at the feet of the Lord and just watch the miracle of your mind being renewed. The miracle of his healing power, of him giving you the ability to forgive somebody tomorrow, maybe, that you haven't even, you know, seen in a while. Just allowing the miracles of the Lord to just be produced in your life by seeing him as your one thing. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a time of worship. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity just to read this scripture and to see the power of your word. And I thank you for all the people, Lord, that you put in scripture, Lord, so we can see their response to you and we can follow after it, Lord, and pattern our lives after it. I pray for all these women here. I pray that you would just break our will, Lord. Allow us to see you as the only thing good. See you as the only one thing, Lord, and allowing you to make everything good around us because we want to pursue you and you alone. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you did. Or for how you sacrificed yourself and gave us victory over our minds and sin and temptation, Lord, through that. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for being our Savior, Lord. We love you so much. Amen.